still up, Mr. Chris.
You've been slow.
Would you give me slide 62, please? When we talked about the trips, and people coming into the center, and Mr. McNair went through with you the trip generation manual. It tells you how many people are going to come in, but it doesn't tell you, does it, from what direction they came from or what direction they're going to leave. Is that correct?
The ITE trip generation manual does not tell me that. No.
So you had put in the queue analysis that you were going to lengthen the left turn lane from 150 to 325. Is that correct?
Yes.
Why did you think you needed to lengthen that, should not lengthen the corresponding right turn lane?
The length of that left turn lane is based on designing it. We put the 100-foot left turn lane that goes southbound into the alley at the new signalized intersection, and then a bay taper, and then we used all the rest of the available space to use that left turn lane. It wasn't that it was necessitated or needed. It was just we could provide it, and then we didn't want to waste the space.
So it wasn't based on any prediction of how many cars you think we're going to need or anything?
To an extent, it more than accommodates the queue that's projected for that case, but because we had that space, we provided it.
So I'm a driver, and I'm going eastbound to Palmyra, and I see the Sheets gas station. Oh, I need gas. I'm going to get in. I'm going to come out here, correct? At the base. In fact, everybody, other than those people coming out at the pork chop, have to come out at this one spot, correct? If you're going north, west, or east, you have to come out here and either go this way or this way, correct?
By here, you're referring to the driveway on the relocated Sand Hill Road?
Driveway at the base of the relocated Sand Hill Road, yes.
Yes.
If you want to go southbound, you can go out the pork chop. Or if you want to go southbound, you can come out that relocated driveway and get out of it. But if you want to go north, west, or east, you only have two choices. You've either got to go this way, or you've got to go to Cherry, correct?
Repeat that, please.
If you're going to come out of here and you want to go north, west, or east, you either have to come out this way or you have to go out this way, correct?
You have to go somehow to get to Route 322, yes. All right.
So, all right, I'm going to Palmyra, and I'm tooling along, and I see a gas station. I want to get my gas. I'm going to come out here. I'm going to go through a traffic light here, and I'm going to go up to here, correct?
Yes.
Conversely, if I am going westbound, I'm going to see, oh, I see a gas station. I'm going to come in, probably go into the pork chop, get my gas, but I'm going to come out this way, right? I'm not going to go back out here through one stoplight, a second stoplight, and go all the way over here. Those people that are going to go west are going to come out on Cherry, correct?
They can.
What do you mean they can't?
They can.
Yes. And in fact, if you tie in the Hope Drive extension, which everybody's talking about, they'll be able to go this way. What I'm suggesting is your extension of the 325 feet for the left turn lane is in the wrong place. It really should be over here on Cherry, shouldn't it?
People going to the west can come out and go either of the two ways you pointed out. I can't speak to how everyone is going to go. We estimated it based on travel times and travel paths.
Yeah, but common sense is people are not going to come out here, go through one stoplight, a second stoplight, and then go over here and go a third one, when they can go out here and just go through one, correct?
Some people might not know you can go down Sand Hill Road and get the Cherry Drive and come back up.
Well, but if you had the Hope Drive extension, they'll be able to go out that way. True, correct?
The Hope Drive extension is not part of this project.
Everybody keeps saying that, but it's driving this. I'm suggesting that two things. One, that your extension of left turn lane really belongs over here on Cherry Drive. And that you haven't extended enough for all the additional cars that are going to be coming out of the center that want to go eastbound.
Again, I have to object. I think the questions have been asked and answered. If Mr. Chris wants to have a witness of his own to present that testimony, he can, but now's not the time for that.
I think they're getting a little bit repetitious. I do believe the map.
When you talked, we talked about the storage on Cherry. Where's the storage? Can you give me the Q summary analysis that we looked at before? Number 59. At Cherry, going northbound right at 75 foot, correct?
The northbound right turn lane on Cherry Drive is currently provides 75 foot. Yes. Still, yes.
And same thing with the left, it provides 75.
No.
I'm sorry, I got the wrong one. I got stopped on it. I'm sorry. It lists 160, correct?
Yes.
But that 160 fails to take into consideration the configuration of Cherry Drive, does it not? Let me explain to you what I mean. Give me number 72. Over here at Cherry Drive, come down. There's the 75-foot mark. At this point, the arrows in the roadway for Cherry are all left turn into the Carnes supermarket. That's not 160. At that point, there's a sign that says it can be going either way, but nobody sees that. All you have are the arrows in the roadway, which you're saying that it's going into Cherry Drive. So there is not 160 feet there for without you running into the traffic going into Cherry Drive, correct?
The 160 feet is measured from the stop bar back to where those pavement markings start.
To where?
The pavement markings for the left turn lane into the second driveway and the car start. The 75 feet you're referring to is about where the right turn lane ends and then the curb starts to taper over. The, right there is 75 feet from the stop bar, not all the way back to the driveway.
But at this point in time, Cherry Drive at this point goes left turn into cars, correct?
Current pavement markings show that, yes.
Yes. So that you really can't extend Cherry Drive if you were to re-guide and configure and put the exit from your development instead of on Fishburne over here where it belongs. You'd be running into the Cherry Drive left turn, right? Correct?
I'm not sure if all of that question was.
Can you bring back the last, no, the other one. That one. If the people come out here and you were to put the 325-foot lane here, you'd be running into the left turn at the cars, would you not?
I don't know where the 325 feet goes there, and I don't know that the 325 feet is needed there. That's not what the traffic study analyzed and recommends.
Let's switch gears here a little bit. Let's talk about the approval process from PennDOT. Because this is going to require requires a traffic study, the PennDOT procedure is basically a three-step process, is it not? The first step being that you get a scoping meeting, correct?
Correct.
And that's a term of art. And in preparation for that scoping meeting, you take your plans and you upload them to a PennDOT website. PennDOT refers, reviews them, and then there's a bullet point checklist, if you will, of what you're going to discuss is generated in the scoping meeting, correct?
We prepare a scoping meeting application, which includes the basic information for the traffic study, the basic parameters, and that's submitted to the municipality and PennDOT and the county. And then PennDOT reviews that and provides comments right before the meeting, and we discuss the scoping application and PennDOT's comments at the meeting.
All right. After the scoping meeting is done, you then go out and do the traffic study, correct?
Correct.
In this case, we applied for the scoping meeting, my review indicates, on August the 20th of 2021. Does that sound about right? Thereabout. It doesn't have to be exact.
That sounds about right, yes.
So, PennDOT reviews thing is a bullet point checklist to be discussed at the meeting. You have the meeting. You then go out. Step two is you go out and you actually do the traffic study. In this case, the traffic study, as I understand, was completed sometime in the end, near the end of December 2021. Is that correct? The first version of it?
Uh, that was the first version.
So then you take and you upload the traffic study to PennDOT's website, and then they have what's called the formal HOP review, correct? That's the third step.
You submit the traffic study, and they review the traffic study.
And then they have an HOP meeting, correct?
The HOP doesn't come until after the traffic study is approved.
I'm not saying the permit itself, but they have a meeting where they review the material that you have uploaded, correct?
You submit the traffic study to PennDOT, they review it, and we get comments back.
All right. So, in this case, the let's go back to the scoping meeting. The scoping meeting was held on the 21st, correct?
Thank you, I was looking for that.
So let's stipulate to that date and move on, please.
Give me slide 41, please, so people can follow along. As a Zoom call, correct?
A Microsoft Teams meeting, yes.
All right. So, and the people who participated in it were Mr. Lowell Gates, correct? Is he on the call?
Yes.
Mr. Peters?
Yes.
Eric Kennard from PennDOT?
Yes.
Dean Knowles from PennDOT?
Yes.
Major Mallett from PennDOT?
Mr. Malik, yes.
Pardon me?
Mazar Malik.
He's retired now, isn't he? He's no longer with them?
That's correct.
And Bill Warden, who's sort of the boss of PennDOT there, isn't he?
Bill Warden works in the HOP unit.
And also on the call was David Habig, who is the assistant community director in the township with Mr. Emmerich, correct?
Yes.
And Eric Stelft is here, who yes. was the township engineer.
Correct.
Following the conclusion of that scope meeting, you prepare the minutes because you're the one who called the meeting, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And the people make comments that you forget something, and they did ask that you amend the meeting minutes, correct?
Yes, I believe we covered this under my direct testimony.
All right. Would you go to page 4?
Page 4 of
this exhibit. There. That was what was basically added, was it not? Discussion was held regarding the impacts to adjacent properties that may result from a median in Fishburne Road.
That's one of the things that was added, yes.
All right. So, discussion is a very generic term, a very nebulous term. Tell us what exactly was discussed with regard to the impact of the adjacent properties that may result from the median in Fishburne Road.
My recollection from a meeting held 15 months ago is that it was just a typical discussion and mentioning by PennDOT and brief discussion regarding whenever there's improvements proposed in front of someone's property, they are part of the HOP process and become a part of the releasing process.
Was there any discussion of what impact it would be to those people and the effect on their properties?
The discussion was that the evaluation of those impacts would be part of the HOP and the approval process for the project.
Impacts to adjacent properties from a median. Did that also include a discussion of any median from the proposed new stoplight at Fishburne south in front of the property, such as the Tana Bistro restaurant, the Seedlings Academy, going south, or were we strictly talking about a median from Governor Road down to the new stop, south to the new stoplight? Do you understand my question?
There will be no median south of the proposed of Sandhill relocated, and the proposed median is only a portion of the stretch between 322 and relocated Sandhill Road.
Well, originally it was going to be a complete median from, and then it was revised, was it not?
That's correct.
The time this was originally done, you were going to do a complete median. So now it's from the pork chop down to the south of the stoplight, correct?
At the scoping meeting portion, I don't even know if anyone knew where the median was going to be or if it was going to be there for sure at that point. It was just something that was discussed that may happen, so this point was brought up.
Isn't PennDOT requesting a median now from the new stoplight south in front of those properties at Connor Bistro Restaurant, the Seedlings Academy, as part of their, what you're calling is an approved plan, I'm calling it revised number 3. Aren't they calling for that in that current, what we talked about? I believe Mr. Sweetner talked about that.
Do you have an exhibit that you can show and you can point to exactly where you're referring to? So
yes, I can do that. All right. Give me 57, please. You're A28. I got that. Page 3 of this. Keep going. Next page. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That is page 3. All right. As I read this, it seems to me that what PennDOT
show me on a map where you're specifically referring to. I know what the letter says.
Well, it says, it is the department's preference to restrict entering and entering left turn movements for driveways located along the left turn lane. And I'm assuming that they mean the left turn lane south of the new stoplight,
right?
Particularly for those properties which access the alley, which will become the fourth leg of it. So they, what they're asking for, are they not, is a median from those property from the stoplight, the new proposed stoplight south, at least for that 475 feet we talked about earlier.
No.
They're not asking for a median?
No.
What is it saying? It refers to restrict entering. How else do you restrict entering left turn movements other than with a median?
There are other ways to do it via signage. As I testified under direct testimony, all of the properties that are along the full width widening for that left turn lane will have to have their driveways evaluated to determine what impacts are there, and they're part of the HOP process, and it's dealt with as part of the HOP, the release and process as part of the HOP process.
Let's go back and talk a bit about the scoping meeting. In preparation for the scoping meeting, there was a set of bullet points generated, correct? Based on a review that PennDOT had done, correct?
I'm not sure what you mean by bullet points.
Just a second, give me a minute. Let's do it this way. Number 26. Scope application comment sheet. Correct?
Yes, that's the PennDOT comment letter on the scoping application.
All right. And you've made that part of the TAS. That's actually included in your traffic at pages 739 through 741, just for the record. That's in the current TIS.
We're required to keep all that documentation in, I guess, as long as it's important.
Do you know who prepared these comments?
PennDOT or their consultant.
Do you know who their consultant was?
This one looks like it was Pannoni Associates.
PAI is Pannoni Associates Inc. So this was prepared by somebody at Pannoni, right? Would you read the first number two description of proposed development that says in the record, please?
The right-in, right-out driveway along Fishburne Road should be eliminated or at the very least restricted to right-in only. The access conflicts with the right-turn lane and taper at relocated Sand Hill Road.
Yes. Okay.
The right-turn lane...
I think the document speaks for itself. If you want to make it an exhibit, make it an exhibit. I don't think we have to have a witness read the whole document.
Yes. I think you could just ask... Move this along. Just ask specific questions regarding that paragraph if you have any, sir.
Next page, please. Of that document. Keep going. Yeah. Signal warrant analysis. Do you see that there?
Yes.
They're saying a traffic signal is not desired at the intersection of what is Fishburne and relocated Sand Hill Road. Now, do you know who prepared this? You said Pannoni. Do you actually know that there was a fellow at Pannoni who prepared this called Jacob Hughes? You know Jacob Hughes?
I know the name.
He's an engineer, certified engineer. Is he not a traffic engineer?
Yes.
And he works for Conati, which is Mr. Rogowski's firm. Mr. Rogowski has neglected to tell us that his own firm was the author of this document, which says that, A...
Again, I'm going to object. If you want to have a witness present testimony, you can have a witness do that. This is an opportunity for asking Mr. Creasy questions on cross-examination.
I would agree. Please direct questions to the witness, sir.
Are you aware that Mr. Hughes works for Pinot?
Yes.
All right. So, and now this is the same Pinotti who's now pushing the same plan, right? Mr. Rogowski came and told us that they're now working for the plan on behalf of Lidl.
At the time Pinotti reviewed the scoping application, they were not.
So PennDOT was the client for Pinotti at the time, correct?
Pinotti's review contract is with PennDOT.
Yeah, yes. So they decided that they weren't going to honor that contract, or what?
Object to the relevance of that question.
Yeah. What hell? Intending to have any of these documents you're handing up entered into the record?
All of them, please.
Well, then if that's the case, let's get them marked. You know, some of them are excerpts from other exhibits. I don't think that's necessary, but
okay.
If we can mark, we'll mark for the aerial photo as back one.
Okay.
Simple. We'll mark the fuel distance map as back two. We'll mark the scope application comment sheet as back three. And we'll mark the latest email, which is an email from Mr. Hughes to Mr. Eric, or to me, oh, sorry, Mr. Jacob Hughes to Eric Kincaid, dated October 4th, 2021, as a back four. The other two exhibits are excerpts from the TIS, exhibit 29, so I'm not going to mark them separately. Thank you.
If I could be interrupted here. I also had slide 72, which was a black and white aerial Cherry Drive. It wasn't all sunlight.
Yeah, he didn't hand those up. Really, the questions, it was help to orient the witness, so I didn't feel it was necessary. Thanks.
Give me 74, please. As part of the scoping process, do you recall sending an email to Eric Kinnair? This is an email chain, so you got to start at the bottom and work up. This is the top part of the page. Okay? So we go back to the bottom of the next page. It really starts at the bottom. You sent an email to Greg, from you, Greg Creasy, to Eric Kennard of PennDOT, and says, "Dear Eric, can you please cite the specific sections of the access manual you're referring to in the comment 2 about the pork chop?" And
you refuse as though I sent that?
Yep, okay. Continuing on up, are you aware then that Mr. Kennard then writes an email to Jake Hughes and says, "Hey Jake, can you help me with this one? Can you scan what you're referring to so I can look it over and pass it on to Mr. Creasy at Grove Miller here?" And that's sent about 10 minutes after he gets your email. He sent yours at about 11:25, 11:36, he's looking for it. And Jacob Hughes then responds to this, go up please, the next Monday when he comes in the office, and he says, "The information is covered in Chapter 15 of the Access Manual, see Sections 15.3 and 15.4. The main issue is that the driveway is too close to the new intersection they want to build, and we cannot get a proper big taper." And he attaches sections of the Access Manual. Were those forwarded to you then?
No.
They weren't? Not at all?
Eric sent me the manual. I don't know if I got that specific email. I didn't know that he emailed Jake. I got the information I was looking for. I don't know if I specifically got that email chain.
You know what the access management manual is, don't you?
Yes.
Would you explain to the jury, for the people, what that is, please?
It's a manual that PennDOT uses as guidance when they're looking at any kind of new driveway intersection. It's a manual about best practices to access state highways and other roadways.
It's a national publication, is it not? The Access Manual, Management Manual?
I can't recall who authors it off the top of my head.
But PennDOT has endorsed it, correct?
In this case, they've cited it.
Well, they publish a what's called an Access Management Model Ordinances for Pennsylvania Municipalities Handbook. Are you aware of that?
No.
Pass these out. The sections of the access manual that you said you found and you looked at are attached to this. Let's talk about that.
Before you get started, Mr. Chris, let's mark this as the back five. Okay.
Okay.
This is excerpt from the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation Access Management Manual.
And Pennsylvania defines access management as the control, location, and operation of driveways and appropriate spacing of signals, correct? That's how they define access management.
I'm not 100% sure what the actual definition is.
See the definition there? Do you agree with that definition?
That's TRB's definition, yes.
What?
If you're referring to the second page of the exhibit you just distributed, yeah, in the yellow part, this is the Transportation Research Board's manual defines access management.
But access management is a term of art in the traffic field, is it not?
It's a traffic engineering term, yes.
Yes, sorry. On page 3 of this exhibit, there is page 368 of the access management manual. You see what I'm talking about? The top. The
yes.
All right. Give me number 69, please. Yeah. All right, this is it. Page 3 of this version. Under Exhibit 15.17 in the Access Manual, they recommend for spacing that a taper plus the turn lane be no more than 50% of the distance between the two spaces, correct?
That Exhibit 15-17 indicates that, but I'm not specifically sure. The description of what that exhibit is not on this page, so I don't know what location that is, what type of road that is.
Well, just in terms of spacing, in the case of Fishburne Road, we have said that the pork chop, which we're going to call this my purpose of my question, the pork chop, is 300 feet from Governor Road, and you have said that it's another 300 feet to where they want to put the new road to commit, correct? So you've got 300 feet here, correct?
I'm going to object both to this email as back 4. We don't have Mr. Hughes or Mr. Kennard to confirm that these were actually emails that they sent to each other. And I'm also going to object to any more questions on Back 5, which is this access management manual. Again, we have a conditional approval from PennDOT of our traffic impact study. So, you know, looking at 15-17, it's talking about illustration of maximum length. And just looking at the next paragraph down, it starts talking about the Colorado State Highway Access Code. I cannot for the life of me understand how there's any relevance to our conditionally approved traffic impact study by going back a year prior to look at emails that are referencing an access management manual. It is just no relevance at all to what we're here before you tonight to continue to cover, and that's the conditionally approved traffic impact study. I mean, we're just bogged down in minutiae here that isn't relevant.
We'll split up the two objections. The first objection to back 4, I'm going to take that as an objection to omitting that particular exhibit into the record. That objection will be upheld. As to back 5 and his questions, the board will take this testimony and this particular exhibit and give it the weight that it deserves. There's looser rules of evidence here at a zoning hearing than in court. So as such, that second objection is overturned.
So we have 300 feet between the pork chop and what is going to be the new relocated Sand Hill Road. So that under this formula, it would have to be no more than 150 feet. We've already said that you're going to have a right turn lane that's going to be 100 feet plus 75, and we already said that isn't right because you've got to have a 100-foot taper. So you exceed the recommendations for the spacing between the pork chop and the proposed stoplight, correct?
I cannot testify as to what the requirements are in this exhibit. It could be the spacing between two intersections. Sometimes this manual talks about intersections. Sometimes it talks about driveways. It talks about the different kinds of roadways there are. It talks about urban versus rural. I can't testify to specifically what this is referring to.
Next page. Well, they do it another way in this manual. Examples of guidelines for unsignalized access connection spacing on suburban roads. And we have a suburban road here, correct?
That would be correct.
And we have a minor arterial. We've established it's an arterial.
Yes.
It's handling 11,300 cars a day. And it's an undivided roadway, correct?
Correct.
And when it says unsignalized access, that's where you come out of the pork chop. So there's no signal at the pork chop, correct?
Correct.
So they're recommending, are they not, that it be 660 feet between this and the roadway at, where you propose to move the new stoplight, correct?
Again, that is, that specific column is the unsignalized access connection spacing. That is, I'm not sure if that specific column is referring to a distance if there's two full movement roadways or a full movement roadway and then a ready and right out requires, and there's less conflicts. So this would, what we're proposing would be technically it's a divided roadway, there'd be a median down the middle of it.
So we're not saying it's a median, I'm saying it's an undivided roadway, 660 is what they're referencing.
Under undivided roadway, it does say 660, yeah.
And that's where we are. And we don't have that here, correct? We don't have 660 feet between the two.
We do not.
Okay. Before you get started again, Mr. Chris, I just wanted to go back to the two objections by Mr. Strong. Further discussion with the board, I missed something on the two exhibits, so I just want to ask Mr. Creasy a couple of questions. Mr. Creasy, looking at back four, the email, they reference Chapter 15 of the Access Management Manual, specifically referring to sections 15.3 and 15.4. Do you see that on back on that email?
Yes, it's the first sentence. Sorry.
And then back five, the excerpts, are those the sections that were copied in back five?
It appears that page three begins somewhere in the portion of 15.3, but it says 15.3.4, so I don't know what's before that.
Okay, but this is, the manual referred to in the email is the manual that's copied in back five, is that correct?
I believe, yes, I believe that.
That being said, the board is going to actually admit back four into the record and give it the weight it deserves.
Mr. Nelson, if I could restate my objection, the first email in this chain of emails was from Mr. Creasy to Mr. Kennard. The subsequent emails do not copy Mr. Creasy. It's an email from Mr. Kennard to Mr. Hughes copying Mr. Knowles, and then the email at the top is from Mr. Hughes to Mr. Kennard copying Mr. Knowles. So my point is, we don't have any of those individuals here to say, yes, those are emails that we sent. Mr. Creasy was not copied on either of these emails. I don't see what relevance they have to our discussion. So the fact that he was the one who kicked off this chain of emails, but then he was dropped from it and wasn't copied on any of this, so it just doesn't have any relevance.
And we recognize that, and we take that in, we'll, you know, the board will take that into account on assigning the appropriate weight to this evidence. Thank you.
Would you give me slide 27, please? HOP review conducted by PennDOT, is it not? This is part of your traffic. You've attached this to the traffic study.
Yes, it looks like the first comment.
I found at pages 596 through 601 of your traffic study admission.
That appears to be the first comment.
And just for the records, everybody understands, it says at the top, they give it a different number other than a scoping number when they go into this phase. And it says cycle number one. Each time that it's reviewed by PennDOT, they give it, go cycle one, cycle two, cycle three. Well, that's what that cycle means at the top of that. Is that correct?
Correct.
So we're the first cycle. Do you know who performed this for PennDOT?
From that page, I do not.
Well, I'm asking, whether you know from the page, do you know who PennDOT did not do this review itself, did it not?
PennDOT typically sends the reviews out to a review consultant.
Well, they couldn't send it out to Pannoni anymore because Pannoni now is working for Lidl, correct?
That's correct.
So, what happened?
Here we go. Give all these away. I'll keep.
Give me number 76, please. Well, here's what happens here. This gets, you've uploaded your TIS study, and it's now come time for the review. Somewhere between the time of the scoping meeting and now, Pannoni and Snyder Security merge, or Pannoni buys Snyder Security out. I'm not sure what happened, but they ended up with the business, and I know both Snyder and Security both immediately retired. So I don't know whether it was just a business transfer or they just bought the business or they moved it over. But at this point in time, Pannoni can't do the work anymore, correct?
I can't speak to what happened when I submitted my study to Linda. I submitted my study and I got comments a month later. I don't know the whole inner workings of all of it.
Well,
what you said makes sense, but I don't know if that's what happened.
Come, go down. Keep going. Jacob Hughes and Pannoni sends it in to PennDOT, and PennDOT then sends it over to Matt Mahone at Jody Evans. Do you know Jody Evans? You know who she is?
Yes.
She's an engineer, is she not?
Yes.
Very talented engineer, is she not?
She's an engineer who works for McMahon Associates.
Okay. She lives in E-Town behind the Masonic Hall. Right?
Mr. Chris, this has been going on a long time. Can we get focused? First off, this document, I assume you got this from PennDOT as part of your right to know request?
Correct.
Okay. Let's mark this document as fact 6, please. It's a packet with a cover of an email from Jacob Hughes to Dean Knowles dated January 17th, 2022.
Go down, please. So it refers to that she's doing this work for PennDOT, and it includes the Lindlow Governor Crossing Cycle 1. Next page, please. So you're sure that's who she is? So this is done by Jody Evans. Next page, please. That's the comments that you've attached to your TIS. She did them, correct?
I'd have to go back and look in my CMS submission to see who the reviewer was. I would imagine if Pannoni didn't do it, McMahon did, because they're the two consultants, but it's not specifically in this letter. Who did the letter?
Right.
The contact name is Eric Conner of PennDOT.
All right. Keep going on. The comment on the pork chop is adequate justification as to the need for the proposed right only access to Fishburne Road has not been provided in the previous noted TIS scoping reviews remain. Is that correct?
Yes.
So whoever it was at McMahon, I'm going to say it's Jody Evans, didn't like the pork chop either, did she? This is separate from the guy at Pannoni.
I can't speak to her personal opinion.
Well,
she carried forward PennDOT's comment and said there wasn't justification in the report yet for it.
Next page. Would you read section 5, please, in its entirety?
Again, I'm going to object. This, if he wants to submit this as an exhibit and make reference to it, he can.
We marked it as an exhibit. Yeah, there's no need to have a witness read out loud something into the record.
It says it that...
Just ask him a question about number 5, sir, and see what the witness testifies to.
That section says that the proposed intersection of Fishburne and Governor does not meet the requirements of publication 46, does it not?
I don't see where it specifically says what you just said.
It says, if a traffic signal is to be proposed, please re-evaluate the relocation intersection of Fishburne Road and San Juan Road. Just for the record, from the first time that you submitted anything to PennDOT to today, you haven't...
No.
Can you plug in?
No.
No?
Yes.
You just had a thumb down.
Is he going to drive or you are off his computer?
He's going to drive.
What? Can I just drop him on the road? This is number 7, slide 76. You go to the last.
You're welcome.
You know what? Why don't you run that? Give me the last page of that document, would you please? Not the last page. Upon receiving this, Eric Cannata writes to Jody Evans, and he says, so we know it is Jody Evans. Well written, Jody. Wow. So they're complimenting her on the work.
What were you?
The analysis that she provided there.
What are you? I'm going to object. I don't know what's up on the screen. That's not part of back 6 that I can tell.
It is. It's part of that.
It's the last page.
It's the last page.
That's, it really isn't immaterial. Let's move on to this.
And again, I'll object to back 6 with the exception of the PennDOT review comments. They are what they are. The rest of the emails, we don't even know what that means. So I object to the inclusion of the emails.
If the board's going to accept it and, you know, give it the weight it deserves. Thank you.
Give me slide 20, please. Do you recognize this document?
Yes.
That's PennDOT, pages from PennDOT's Pub 46 The traffic engineering manual, is that correct?
Yes.
That's the standard document that you use, correct?
Yes.
Go down. 10DOT recommends on a minor arterial highway that a stoplight be at least 1/4 mile from the previous stoplight, correct?
That's the recommended signal spacing.
Yeah. They prefer a 1/2 mile, but they take that what they would prefer at a minimum, 1/4 mile, correct?
That's what this table 422 says here.
Okay. Back down to the bottom of this page, please. So we have only 603 feet back. Can you get to the bottom, or is it cut off? Of the required. So you really only have 45.68% of the required amount. Is that correct?
Again, I'm going to object. If he wants to have a witness testify as to all the handwritten markings on this Pub 46, he can do that. If he wants to just introduce Pub 46 so that it stands for what it states, he can do that. But anything else, he has to have a witness present this as testimony.
Whose handwriting is this, Mr. Chris?
It's my handwriting.
All the handwriting is yours?
Yes.
Yeah, you can ask questions regarding this document, sir, but I think, you know, the additional information really should be testified to as to your own witness.
So what do
you... That being said, if we will... Do you wish to have this admitted as back 7?
I do.
Well, we will admit it as back 7.
The last line of the paragraph there, it says there is also some evidence. Would you read that into evidence, please? Would you read that out loud, please?
Again, maybe I just need to make this a standing objection. I don't think the witnesses need to read into the record what's being introduced into the record as an exhibit.
I fully agree with that.
PennDOT states that there is evidence that placing more than 3 traffic signals per mile on an arterial increases the traffic accident rate. Correct?
Says there is some evidence and research, yes.
Next page. Next page of this appointment. I don't have it as a... I did that as a subject. 87. I didn't attach to the original. All right, let's talk about where we are looking here. We have, this is the standard map in this area, correct? In this area.
The roadway map looks standard. I cannot testify to what's written.
Do you know how far it is from the stoplight at Fishburne and Governor to the stoplight at the Giant there?
This was already asked and answered earlier. Mr. Creasy testified what the distance was in the traffic signal permit. Already covered it.
Do you know how far it is from the traffic signal at the Giant to the Bachmanville Road traffic signal?
No.
You would agree that if you put the new proposed traffic signal in, you have 4 traffic signals in the same line, correct? In the same order.
I'm trying to remember 100% sure if there's a signal at the bottom. I don't know that there's a signal at the southernmost circle you drew on the plan. I'm not 100% sure there's a signal there.
There is a signal there.
Again, if he wants to have a witness provide that testimony, he can. He can't testify.
Yeah, Mr. Chris, please don't argue with a witness. You asked the witness a question. He gave you an answer.
You proposed the new stoplight approximately there, correct? That's about 600 feet to the stoplight into Giant, correct? You're going to have three in a row on a two-lane arterial road, for which the speed limit is 35 miles an hour, and for which we have said there's 11,300 cars a day pass. Do you think it's safe to put that traffic signal there? In your professional opinion?
Yes.
Why?
That traffic signal will afford the traffic that goes in, currently goes in and out of Sand Hill Road, as well as the traffic from the development, to access Fishburne Road in a safe manner, providing green time for the side streets while the main line is stopped, as was identified in the township's 2015 comp plan and the 2020 Ritchie Area Transportation Study, and as well as documented in my report.
Give me document number 67.
Before we move on to another document, I'm going to ask that you provide us with a unmarked up copy of back 8 if you want it to be made part of the record.
All right, I can do that.
You know, none of your handwriting, your calculations, your measurements on it, please.
Mr. Nelson, just so I'm clear, is this what we're referring to as back 8?
I'm sorry.
The second page of
no,
back 7.
No, you're back 7.
Oh, okay.
Both pages of back 7.
Which one is you calling back 7?
It's the excerpt from the
46.
Traffic engineering manual called 46 and the map with your handwriting on the back of it.
You don't want my handwriting on the back?
You don't want any of your... No handwriting, sir. All right. And okay. Mr. Chris,
yes.
You've got five more minutes until you've got to wrap things up.
All right.
At least for tonight.
This will be the last for tonight. I have a couple more things, but we'll do it next time. Look at number 67. Bring that up, please. Do you recognize that document? Yes. That's a document that you wrote, correct?
You scroll on the second page, right at page.
Yes. This is included as part of your traffic impact study, is it not?
Yes.
And it's found in your traffic impact study. At pages 735 through 738. Of the TIS. And just to orient everybody what it is, this is your response to those bullet points that were done by Jacob Hughes at Canoni. And it was done under the scoping number. They changed the number, but the scoping number is 08-2020. It's the date plus whatever number they give it. So go to page...
So just to be clear, this is back on scoping.
Go back on scope, correct. Go back, next page. How do you check for that? There it is. Okay. This is your response to that. And we read the response portion to the in accordance with page we talked about in 46. You see what I'm talking about? Read your response, please.
It says, this issue was discussed at TI scoping meeting, see the meeting minutes for details, and it was agreed that a signal would be permitted at this location.
So you are saying that there was an agreement at this meeting to permit the stoplight to go through before the traffic impact study's even been conducted?
As I said, it's because it was what was included in the township's comp plan and their document in 2020, the Hershey Area Transportation Study. We discussed those documents at the meeting, and so that's why we were proposing the signal there.
Who said, it says discussion, who said what to whom in that meeting?
I'm going to object. I just don't know the relevance. We're going back to October of 2021 for the scoping meeting. The scoping meeting occurred. The scope was approved. The traffic impact study was done. It was revised. It was reviewed. It was approved conditionally by PennDOT. There's just no relevance to going back through all of this. I mean, we've been going, you know, now here for another, you know, 2.5 hours on Mr. Creasy, and we're just covering what, in my opinion, is just not relevant to what's before this board.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Mr. Chris, we have an objection. We need to address it first.
Okay.
Before you, unless you want to respond, the objection is going to be overruled.
Okay.
As I stated before, there's much more looser rules of evidence in these sorts of hearings, and a much looser interpretation of relevancy. So the board will attach to this line of questioning the appropriate way. Thank you.
Let me ask it this way, okay? You said it was agreed that a signal would be permitted. Who agreed specifically?
My recollection of the discussion is that that part of the discussion was provided as to why we're proposing the signal there, to state that it's been contemplated by the township. It was on the township's comp plan. It's on their map. It's been in other studies that they've performed, just to get, trying to get PennDOT to understand why we were doing it, and that's why we're proposing it. And it was generally agreed amongst the members of the meeting that the signal would be permitted there if we could justify that it would work.
So PennDOT agreed that they would allow it even though the traffic study hadn't been even undertaken yet.
I believe it's fair to say that they agreed that they would consider it and review it, as opposed to just flat out saying we couldn't do it. That's my recollection of the conversation.
Who agreed on behalf of the township?
I would guess whoever reviewed the meeting minutes and did comment on it. I'm not 100% sure. No one flat out said that they wouldn't, we shouldn't consider it there.
That's not what I'm asking. I said, did the township agree that they should have a signal there at that point?
I'm not 100% sure if anyone from the township specifically said anything at that point, but no one objected. That's why I said it was agreed.
Did PennDOT, as part of that agreement, agree that they would provide you with, if necessary, to condemn the right-of-way for the left-turn lane coming up from the Giant into the site if you can't acquire the rights to the left turn? Was that part of that agreement?
No.
Was that even discussed?
No.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to break here and we'll. I have a couple more things next to me.
Okay. We have a. We have a couple of administrative matters. First off, Mr. Chris, a few times you referenced documents that were included in the traffic impact study.
Right.
Were you referring to the original one or the revised one?
The revised one.
I can't find it in the revised one.
They're there. I have the pages.
Secondly, we are, in order to move things along, I've talked to Mr. McNair. We're going to hold the hearing on February 22nd. If Mr. McNair can't make it, he can't make it, and he'll review the transcript of that hearing. And if there are witnesses who question that hearing, we will formulate his cross-examination of those witnesses based on the review of the transcript. That being said, Mr. Strong, if additional witnesses after Mr. Creasy are questioned on February 22nd, Will you bring them back and allow Mr. McNair question them out of order at one of the March hearings?
Yes.
Thank
our,
you.
Our witnesses have been in attendance at every hearing date thus far, so they will be here.
And likewise, I recognize Mr. Winter, you can't make the 22nd.
In the interest of moving this along, I'm not making any promises to the board tonight, but I'm going to try to move my commitment.
If you cannot, Mr. Strong, will you, even if Mr. Creasy finishes up on February 22nd, will he be available to come to one of the March meetings so Mr. Winter can undertake his cross-examination?
Yes, he will be available.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Creasy.
That's all right.
Thank you. Okay.
I should be able to get an email out within the next couple of days.
No, I got
include everyone.
Right. That'd be perfect.
Yep.
So, with this, we are continuing this hearing until the 22nd of February, which I believe is a Wednesday night. It will start once again at 6. We will go once again to 9. After that, we will have a hearing on the, hold on one second, on March 21st, which is a Tuesday night, and then March 29th, which is a Wednesday night. And we will try to get this wrapped up by then. Any other questions? Seeing none. Oh, and one last thing. The board chair has an announcement. Board chair has an announcement.
The board, after we adjourn this meeting with this board, we meet in an executive session to discuss legal matters. So, placing that on the record doesn't impact anyone here, but just wanted to make sure that was part of the record. Thank you.
And we're taking minutes of this, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'll make sure that's
in a minute.
Yes, sir.
Hearing adjourned. Thank you.